Welcome to the AT Parenting Survival Podcast, where you get help and guidance through the chaos of parenting a child with anxiety or OCD. This show is for educational purposes and is not intended to replace the guidance of a qualified professional. Here's your host, child therapist, Natasha Daniels.
Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of the AT Parenting Survival Podcast. I hope your week is going well. Today, I want to talk to you about a new way to help your child with OCD at home. It's so important that we have tools and guidance that we can implement and provide to our kids to support them, because OCD does not live in a 55-minute hour, therapy hour. It lives in our home, and it lives in our home 24/7, and those skills need to be learned and relearned and enforced and reinforced on a daily basis. And sometimes we're like, how do we do that? I'm going to talk about all about that today. Before I get started, though, I do want to thank NoCD for sponsoring this episode. NoCD offers affordable, effective, convenient therapy, and luckily they're available in the U.S. and outside of the U.S. And you can schedule your free 15-minute consultation to see if NoCD is a right fit for you and your child. Just go to treatmyocd.com. That's treatmyocd.com. I'll also leave a link in the show notes. So let's jump into this for today. It is so important. I want to start off with why it's so important to help our kids at home. And this is kind of why I do what I do. I have heard so many stories of parents who were in the wrong therapy and were spending, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars only to find that the approaches the therapist was using was not clinically sound, evidence-based approaches for OCD. That's one of the reasons why I do what I do. Get the word out there. Help parents connect the dots. Get to the right professionals. But also, there are barriers to care even when you know what kind of therapist you need. And there are barriers to success even when you have that OCD therapist. And so that's really frustrating. It's frustrating to be misled by mental health professionals who say that they handle everything from ADHD, sleep issues, divorce, grief, you name it, all the way to OCD. Well, unfortunately, OCD requires extra training. And unless they invested in that extra training, or they were one of those really, really rare graduate programs that cover OCD extensively, they're not going to be able to put their shingle out and say they are an expert in OCD. And unfortunately, sometimes they treat OCD the way they would anxiety. And those approaches and modalities are very different. And you can actually make OCD worse when you're approaching it as it is anxiety. So that's the number one reason why it's really important to get those tools at home. But the other thing is, even if you have the best OCD child therapist, and if you do, you should know that you're really fortunate. And those are really hard to find, because even you can find an OCD therapist who does have the training and who's not well seasoned on how to work with kids. So there's so many layers that become an issue. But what do you do in between those sessions? So let's say you have an awesome OCD therapist. There's some magic that needs to be happening in between sessions. We are not passive participants in our child's therapeutic journey. We are involved participants. We're involved because if we're not part of the solution, we're part of the problem. So that's number one. Inevitably, we might be doing something to grow OCD without knowing it. So having the education and knowledge of what grows OCD and what doesn't, and what's your role in how you navigate this, is really important. And doing those daily skills is really important. When we look at the neural pathways of the brain, I'm not going to bore you, don't worry, but let's just briefly talk about this. Any skill or habit is developed through those neural pathways. Think of it as a highway in the brain, right? And when you are learning a new skill, you're developing those neural pathways. And the more you do it, the more you learn. And sometimes they'll say just short increments every single day builds those new skills. And the same thing goes for unfortunately, like bad habits or compulsions. The more I do those compulsions, the more I'm growing those neural pathways, the stronger it gets. It doesn't discriminate between positive and negative. It's just neural pathways. Like, I'm learning Japanese right now. That's quite the experience. Hopefully by the time you listen to this, which will come out next month, I'll be much better than where I am right now. I won't scare you with my Japanese, but I am doing it in short increments every single day. And I'm trying not to get hung up on the fact that I'm not remembering it or I'm not grasping it each day, because I know that as long as I do it for at least 15, 20 minutes per day, that those neural pathways are going to grow. I'm riding that highway every day in my brain to let my brain know this neural pathway is really important. Please pay attention to this one and don't let it shrivel up because I want to really retain this. And it is the same thing when it comes to OCD skills and learning how to learn offense and defense around when OCD comes knocking and how to do exposures. And those things, when done on a daily basis, even for a brief period of time, help with those neural pathways, help build new ways of looking at problems, help build new highways on how we approach intrusive thoughts and intrusive feelings. And that's the gold right there, because you can have the most amazing OCD therapist. And if it's only, the magic is only happening for 50 minutes per week, then that's going to be a problem when you're trying to have those skills be retained for long-term success. Okay, you get it, right? You know what I'm saying? We can't argue this. And in fact, it's better for me to do short increments of building my skills in Japanese every single day than doing it just once a week. Like, let's say I pick out Sunday and I'm like, I'm going to do it for 2 hours. I'm going to learn Japanese on Sundays. It's much better for me to do 10 minutes a day than 2 hours on Sunday, because I want to build those neural pathways. So that makes sense, right? Same thing for our kids. So I put out a lot of resources to help you at home. I think a lot of times parents are passive participants in their child's OCD journey, and we cannot be passive. And so what is your role? And that's why I do so many resources. It's why I do this podcast, to help you understand what is your role? What can you do? What's your child's role, right? What part is yours and what part is theirs and what part is yours to motivate them to do theirs, right? It's complicated sometimes. Trying to put out those resources for you. And I really do encourage parents to not be passive, even if your child isn't in therapy. Be an active participant. Learn what you're supposed to be doing, what OCD is, and how it should be approached, because that kind of helps you clue into whether your therapist is good or not. But then also supplement it. And yes, run it by your therapist and say, I'm going to supplement things with this. I would be concerned if there was a therapist who was nervous about you supplementing with things at home and wanted only things to happen in the office. They may have reasons why they want you to do certain things, and that's important. But you want to have a conversation about that. And there should be things that you could be doing in the home environment. And if it's just all or nothing, we're working on this, I can't tell you what we're working on, and I'm not going to tell you what to work on, or don't do anything, that would be a red flag for me, because the system is part of the problem. And that's not your fault. It's just innately how OCD works. The system is part of the problem. And until the system gets fixed, then the problem can't get fixed. And so we are the system as the parent, and we're not the cause of the problem, but we have to create our own therapeutic home environment. I talk a ton about that in many podcasts, and I've done free series on how to create a therapeutic home environment. But I want to offer you a new resource. You probably already know that I had a new course coming out, Crushing OCD Class for Kids and Teens. And that's a whole course that I offer for kids and teens to take. But a lot of people have constantly asked me over the last 8 years since I've been doing this more global online stuff, do you have an OCD book? Or where's your book? Can I get your book? And I never had a book in OCD. I actually have a lot of books, believe it or not. I have a book on how to parent your anxious toddler. That was my first one. I have a book on grief. I have a book on social skills. I have a book on how to be kind. I have quite a few books, actually. I have an anxiety sucks book, a teen survival guide for anxiety. Nothing on OCD, right? That's weird. But not anymore, people, not anymore. I am super excited to have this in the world, because I know that if people can get their hand on a book that systematically walks them through how to basically be therapeutic at home and how to have a tool like a workbook that is literally an outline of exactly what I would do with your child if they were in my practice. I'm very excited, because I didn't want this to be any workbook. And so I want to go through this workbook that I've created. It's called Crushing OCD for Kids, 50 Fun Activities to Overcome OCD with CBT and ERP. That's the name of it. But I wanted it to be a book that anyone could pick up, even a therapist that wasn't seasoned in OCD. And let's say they're the only therapist in Timbuktu, and there are a lot of only therapists in Timbuktus, sadly, unfortunately, they would be something more than nothing for a child with OCD because they would have clinically sound approaches that guide them through it one step at a time to help a child. Ideally, we don't want a therapist that's going to depend on a workbook, but there's also very seasoned OCD therapists who love workbooks because they can assign it. It's another interactive tool. But ultimately, besides the therapist, I wanted it for you. More than anything else, I wanted it for you. I wanted a parent who maybe just says, I don't want to have to like piecemeal a million different things together. I just want one thing that I could do with my child or my child could do by themselves. And I know from beginning to end, they're being walked through OCD treatment. Now, obviously a book is not treatment, right? But sometimes we don't get a choice, or sometimes we want to supplement the treatment that our child is having. And that's what I'm hoping the Crushing OCD workbook will do for your child. And so I start off with, and I just want to kind of give you like an overview of how I started it, because I thought, how do I start therapy with a child? And then where am I walking them to one step at a time? And so even though it says 50 fun activities, it's actually, to me, sessions. I think of them as sessions, maybe not 50 sessions. I might have done a couple of these in one session, but they are things that I covered in each session. And they are created in an activity form so that it's much more fun and engaging. And, you know, there's cartoons in it to make it a little bit more interactive. So it's not boring and visually not boring to look at. But the first section is just getting kids to understand OCD and its many disguises. And so many parents only want to focus on their child's one theme. They'll say to me things like, Natasha, you know, I am taking your OCD course, but, you know, we're dealing with harm OCD. And so I don't think this is the right course for us because we're not dealing with OCD, we're dealing with harm OCD. That really irks me, to be 100% honest with you, because there's so much in my soul that wants to scream out, you don't get it. OCD morphs and changes. OCD is an octopus with multiple tentacles. Okay, yeah, one of your tentacles happens to be harm OCD right now, but don't get stuck on the tentacle. Look at the octopus. You don't need a course in harm OCD. You don't need a course on contamination OCD. You need a course on OCD. And of course, in my course, of course, I go into those examples for sure. In all my courses, I go into examples, but that's someone who's being squirreled. And parents will come up with these names. I mean, I've heard confession OCD. My child has intrusive thought OCD. My child has, I'm trying to think of some of the other kind of silly ones that I've heard. They'll take like a symptom, like intrusive thought OCD. I mean, every OCD, all OCD starts with an intrusive thought or feeling. So that makes no sense. Confessing OCD, that makes no sense either, because that's just a compulsion. A child confesses, that's a piece of a compulsion. Just be aware. And the problem with kids and parents not opening up their eyes and actually fully understanding the many disguises OCD wears is because they miss the new tentacles. So they're focusing on this one tentacle out of the eight. Not that there's literally eight, but they're not paying attention to other things that are growing. So this other huge, you know, monstrosity of a tentacle is growing and you're not even aware of it because you have tunnel vision. So the first step is getting, because these are long-term skills. The skills I'm trying to teach kids is long-term. I want them to be able to do this workbook or come back to this workbook or anything I do, my course. And I want them to have skills that they can tap into for life. It's not you have a cold and let's try to get rid of the cold. Unfortunately, OCD is historically, is a chronic condition. And more often than not, our kids are going to have ebbs and flows with their OCD. But the kids that do really well long term are the kids who stick with the skills grow those neural pathways, to learn how to use those skills and develop a lifestyle of how they will interact and handle OCD intrusive thoughts as they come. Whether they are quiet for a couple of years and they pop back up, they go back to those skills. And those skills can be generalized for any OCD theme because the themes don't matter. The only reason why they matter is because you miss them. And that you miss them because you get tunnel vision and you only know your theme and you don't educate yourself. So, okay, I'm belaboring the point. Education is the first step. And sometimes parents will say, well, I don't want my kids to catch different ideas, or I don't want them to read an OCD workbook or OCD book because what if their OCD gets a new idea? I do hear this all the time. And my answer is you don't want to walk on eggshells around OCD. You don't want to be afraid, and so you don't rock the boat. Because if OCD's tentacles want to stick on anything, they will find a reason to stick. The teacher will say something. They'll watch something on TV. They'll hear something on the radio. You mention something, and then all of a sudden, boom, full-blown new OCD theme. You can't control that. If a tentacle is sticky or a theme is ripe to be a target for your child's OCD, it will be no matter where they hear it. And so the benefits far outweigh the cons because anything can trigger an OCD theme. Most of the time, I will say though, unless it's a theme that they probably were going to get no matter what, most of the time they think other themes are ridiculous. And it actually helps them see what OCD is and how it works because they can see the ridiculousness of the other intrusive thoughts. And so they're kind of like, well, that's ridiculous. Why would someone believe that? Or why would someone need to do compulsions around that? And then it actually gives them a different perspective about their theme. And that is really helpful. So the next thing that I talk about in my OCD workbook is talking. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to lay out the foundation for lifelong skills. And a lot of times parents, you know, who are impatient or don't get this with my courses and probably now my book will be like, that's me snapping. I'll be like, get to it, Natasha. Where are the exercises? And there are actually in every section, everything I'm talking about has activities, but they'll be like, you know, where are the skills? Like, how do we get rid of intrusive thoughts? And it's like, slow your roll. Do you want to develop long-term solutions or are you looking for a short-term fix? Because if you're looking for a short-term fix, you're not going to find it. And you're going to get frustrated because of the things you're trying without fully developing the foundation of what you need to do isn't going to be there and it's not going to stick or work. Or do you want to be patient and develop a foundation so that you're doing it right, right? It's like when you're building something and you mess up the bottom part, it's all going to crumble because you didn't take the time to pour the foundation and get it solid. So these are foundational things. Once a child knows the many disguises of OCD, they will never unknow that. That's there in the back of their head. Now my kids will point out to me, they will say, Mom, that I think I have a new OCD theme. And they will know it far sooner than I do because we only see the tip of the iceberg. They are carrying about 90% of the iceberg below the surface. We see 10%. That's scary, but it's true. And so a lot of times themes are stewing inside your child's head far, far before you ever see it overtly in your home. Wouldn't it be great if we teach our kids to spot it themselves? Those are independent skills. Those are really important skills, and those are skills that they're going to have for life. So that's important. And then how are we going to talk about OCD? When do you want to talk about OCD? Can we name it and personify it? Because that's actually pretty cool. And it there's a whole reason why we do that, but they don't have to. But when we personify it, if they want to, some kids are not okay with that. And that's perfectly fine too. We don't have to do these things and check off boxes. There are ideas, and what works for some may not work for others. But when I say Mr. O or Mr. Bossy or your dictator or whatever, and this, you can name things, adults name their OCD. I have a social anxiety memoir coming out in September, and if you read it, I named my social anxiety. And I talk about paro, P-A-R-O, because I'm paranoid. I talk about paro as if it's a thing outside of me in my book. And that's been very therapeutic for me. How we talk about OCD is an important aspect. Personifying it kind of helps protect the self-esteem. There's all sorts of reasons, but I have episodes on that separate from that. Who do you want me to share this with? You know, I don't want to violate your trust. Is it okay if I tell grandma or your uncle, or are we going to keep this within the household? When do you want me to talk about it? Do you want me to touch base once a week? Do you want me to not, you know, randomly bring it up? Do you want me, are you comfortable with me? You know, what's my role? So those are really important questions. Moving from there, in the next activity section, we get to the meat of things. I want to talk about defense. What do you do when OCD comes knocking? What do you do when you have an intrusive thought and OCD is now demanding something? It wants you to do something or avoid something. What's my plan? And so helping kids understand, how do I respond to the itch to do a compulsion, whether it's physical, mental, or involving you, an accommodation, right? It doesn't matter. So I teach them what are compulsions. I teach them how they grow OCD. I teach them how, you know, mental compulsions are still compulsions and what mental compulsions are, all sorts of things, so that they can, OCD cannot hide. Because now they're like, I know all your disguises and I know what compulsions look like, whether they're in my head, where I have to say something in my head or do something in my head or argue in my head, or I have to involve you. You have to say something or do something or listen to me or physically do something for me or give me that reassurance, or I have to do something for myself, or I avoid. Avoidance is a compulsion. I can't sit in this spot. I can't say this word. I can't do this. Compulsions. And so kids don't always know that. Parents don't always know that. So learning defense is learning what compulsions are and learning how you respond to them. So a whole section on that. And then I move on into a whole section on offense. What's offense? Well, offense is, I'm not just going to sit here and defend myself like a victim. Sometimes I'm going to target you back, OCD. I'm going to poke at you when you're not poking at me. And so how do I develop exposures? And for those of you that are not new to this journey, ERP, exposure response prevention, is an evidence-based approach for OCD that is the go-to. That's the one that has the most research, the most backing, the most supported among all OCD therapists is ERP. It's a cognitive behavioral approach. It's not CBT. It's a type of CBT, a type of cognitive behavioral therapy, but it's unique and it has its own approach. And a lot of people don't know it and they're not doing it right. But I'm going to teach your children how to do it. I'm going to teach you through this workbook. How do you set up exposures? What are exposures? How do they help your brain? How do they crush OCD? How do you do them? And so a lot on exposures, a lot on offense. And then we're going to move into the next section. And so I hope that you can see already that this book is very systematic. It's building on skills. It's not just a random book that is just talking about OCD and how it works in the brain and how to boss it back and, you know, and different flavors. My hope is that it is skill building in a very intentional, systematic way, building on top of each other one step at a time. And I bring up themes. So there's hopefully no theme that goes untouched. So there's no child that will feel like they didn't talk about my theme, because I have referred people to lots of OCD workbooks and OCD books in general. And there's always a few kids where I think, oh, this isn't going to even be good for them because they don't talk about moral OCD. That's one of the big ones, or they don't talk about harm OCD. And so they're going to read this and they're going to think, I don't have OCD, because they're not mentioning the thing I have. So I made sure to clearly discuss all the different flavors so that every child who has OCD is feeling seen and heard and realizes we are talking to you. So that's offense. And then there are a couple of things that I wanted to kind of supercharge before we wrapped it up. And so one of them is hooking others in, right? It's exhausting for us as parents. And wouldn't it be great if a workbook actually included that aspect of OCD that dominates our households and motivates them to maybe be a participant in pulling back those accommodations? And so how does OCD hook other people in? What are you asking other people to do or not do to high-five your OCD and grow your OCD? What could they do instead? Getting a child to come up with their own proactive plan on how to reduce accommodations is gold. I don't know if I keep saying that. I feel like I've said that before. The gold part, not that other part. But it is really helpful when they're crafting their own response. Like today, my son, who's 14, actually had a therapy session and he came out afterwards and he said, you know, Mom, I'm saying I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry a lot, and it's my moral OCD. And I'm going to work on not saying I'm sorry anymore unless I really feel like it's something I truly did that I should apologize for. I love that, right? He's learning skills independent from me, right? I'm not having to say to him, and we've had this discussion before in the past where I have had to say this. I'm not having to say, when you say you're sorry, I'm going to say, I'm sorry your OCD is trying to get fed, right? Or like we'll have kind of a silly response that I will give him that is not scratching the itch that his OCD wants. But isn't it better when your child comes to you and says, from now on, this is what's going to happen. I understand that when I do this, I'm growing my OCD. And so from now on, I'm going to try to resist that. And if I don't resist it, I want you to say this to me. That's the goal. We may not get there right away, but that is the ultimate goal. And I wanted to include that in my workbook so that I plant some seeds or give your kids some tools. The next one is, let's not forget their self-esteem. Self-esteem takes a hit with OCD. The feeling of shame, the feeling of embarrassment, the feeling hopeless, feeling depressed, those are all elements that happen when you are dealing with OCD. And so I have a whole section that celebrates their awesomeness. How do you celebrate your wins? What are your strengths? What are you outside of OCD? Because you are more than OCD. And then the last section is, don't think that we're not going to maintain this. That's a mistake that even therapists make, even well-seasoned therapists. Like, you're done with therapy, right? Like, no talk of maintenance, no talk of how to keep these skills alive. You know, if you were training to go run a marathon and you wanted to continue being able to run a marathon, you don't just stop running the minute the first marathon is over. You're probably going to have to keep up your running routine so that you can run the next marathon. You can't like not run at all for a whole nother year. You're going to have to start over your training, right? I'm not a runner. I don't know why I use that as an example, but it's the same thing with OCD. Like, yeah, you reached your goal and your symptoms are maybe subclinical and that's awesome. And they're not impacting your life. Now, how do we live a lifestyle to maintain that progress? And this is what it can look like. And so I kind of walk kids through how to maintain their success and have a lifestyle where they keep OCD at bay. So that is the OCD workbook in a nutshell. I hope that sounds as exciting to you as it does to me, because it was kind of a challenge, honestly, to succinctly get all the tools and skills I wanted in a fun, engaging workbook that I thought left no stone unturned. And so I tweaked it, I wrote it, I tweaked it, I wrote it, I tweaked it. And finally, I feel like it is very to the point, right? It covers everything that I would feel like needs to be covered, but in a very fun, engaging, interactive workbook. So I am excited to offer it to you, because a lot of times when parents come to me globally around the world and say, I don't know what to do, I need help, or they say some things that really scare me. They'll say stuff like, you know, my child says that they're a bad person all the time, and we keep telling him that he's a great person, but he keeps, you know, confessing all these things that he's never done, and I don't know where to start. And then I'll say, okay, well, go, you know, look at the International OCD Foundation and see if you can find a therapist, or go to NoCD at treatmyocd.com, and they'll say, there's no one in my area, or we're on a wait list now. Or they'll say, we saw a therapist and the therapist is talking to him about, you know, why he is a good person. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not what he needs. He needs an OCD assessment. He needs OCD therapy. So to be able to say in the interim, you can grab this workbook. It's inexpensive. It's just a book. You can grab this book and you can have tools. Because sometimes, honestly, my course is too expensive. You know, my Crushing OCD course for kids and teens is $127. And for some people, you know, the budget's not there and they really are desperate. And so to have another option that they can use to just kind of fill in the gaps is huge. So I hope that you will take advantage of the book, you know, and connect with the book. The exciting thing is it does come out tomorrow. Let me see. When am I recording this? I think I'm recording this it'll come out on Tuesday, February 20th. And tomorrow it gets released. I'm in the future. It's actually January 30th. I record these way ahead of time. So that's super exciting. And I want to offer you a special opportunity. And I'm probably going to stop doing this. I probably am going to be upset that I am mentioning this right now. My future self is going to be like, why did you put that in the podcast? Now we have to do it. But because I'm doing it right now, but I am thinking, and I know my assistant was also like, whoa, this is a, why are you doing that? But I am actually, and so I probably will shut this down very soon after the book is released, is my thought, just because I'll tell you what I'm doing. I am giving parents free access. They're going to get my course, Crushing OCD Class for Kids and Teens, the one I've been talking about. Parents will get that for free. The one that I said was $127. We will give you a personalized coupon code to enroll and enroll for free. You get lifetime access to it. It's yours. You bought it for free if you purchase my new book, my new workbook. And so it kind of sounds like, well, that's bad math really for me, right? Like you're going to spend, I think the workbook currently on Amazon is like $23. And I don't know. Let me just check. I am obviously not in charge of the pricing. That's a publisher issue. Yeah, it's $22.95. And so, yeah, the math doesn't make sense. I'm going to give you a $127 course and you're going to spend $23 and you're going to get both. I know that makes no sense. And honestly, I don't know if you know anything about the publishing world, but I make a dollar off of these books. I might make $1.50 off of this one. I don't know. I haven't done the math yet, but it is, you don't make money off books. It really is. It's something that you do because you're passionate about it, because most of the time, no one's going to make a big chunk of money off of books when you're making a dollar a book. But I am really excited about getting this out there because I just really am passionate about really believing that this would be a game changer for people all over the world. I mean, I get emails from people from Australia and Canada and the UK and a lot of areas, rural areas in the United States that don't have access to good quality care or they can't afford it. So I did decide to do this just because one, I felt like, whoa, having the course, the kids course and the workbook together, that's magical. Because they teach the same things, but they use different parts of the brain, right? So if a child can watch videos, that's my course, and it's on demand. They don't have to participate with anybody. They can watch these videos. And I have 12 kids that help me make the course. And so I interviewed them and they talk about how they use the skills that I'm talking about. And they talk about their struggles and they offer support to kids. And so their interviews are weaved through all of the lessons in the course. So they get that video and that visual and they hear from other peers, which is huge. And it's kids and teens in the course, because the course is really for kids of all ages. So the kids course is appropriate for kids starting at, I would say, about 7, depending on their cognitive ability, all the way up to young adult. And there are teens and there's young kids who are in that course. And it's really meant to be for all ages because I want it to be as accessible to everybody as possible. So I didn't want to make it too babyish. I didn't want to make it too old. So I've really got that sweet spot there. And the worksheets in the course are completely separate from this workbook. There's no overlap in the activities. And so they make a really good supplement because you might have a child who likes the activities in the workbook and they can do those sometimes. And then just watching a video once in a while to just get those solidified. So they work really well together. So I thought offering it together is a no-brainer because I know that those are two really powerful resources that I've created that are unique in that they supplement each other. They go over the same skills, but they'll teach it to your child in different ways. The second thing is that, you know, the more people buy this, to be completely honest with you, the more it will be shown on Amazon. And I know that as soon as I can get some traction for this workbook, it will take off on its own. It's like a little baby. It like needs a runway to fly. All books do. I'm not unique. All books, no matter who you are, need a runway to fly. And so I had this idea. Actually, I saw somebody else do it, to be honest, somebody in the online world and who offered, I don't even think she offered her course. I don't know. She offered something for you to pre-order her book. And she went on the New York Times bestseller, which is crazy, but she's actually famous. So I'm not. But I thought, let's give it a little runway. It is scary because we put a lot of time and investment in that course. And it is $127, which actually is incredibly affordable considering what you're getting for that course. I am the most proud of all my courses. I am the most proud of that course because I just loved making the course. I loved working with those kids. I love the way it turned out. I had my own kids take the course, and they actually, one of them didn't want to take it. And they actually were like, Mom, this is actually really good. I like it. And so I feel really confident about that course. I know that's weird to say. I mean, you should feel confident about all your courses, but this is my latest course. And I just feel like I did everything the way that I always wanted all my courses to be. And I love it. So I'm biased. So giving it away for free makes me a little nervous, just because we get a lot of people who are buying it. And I don't want to give that away for free forever and devalue the worth of it. But I also know this workbook is amazing. And so if we can generate a little activity, and it's a win-win, because it's a huge win for you, because you're spending $23 and you're getting a book and a $127 course. So if you are interested in doing that, let me tell you how to do it. All you have to do is pretty basic. All you have to do is go and buy the book on Amazon and then email us the receipt. So screenshot it and then email it to us, and or take a picture with your phone, whatever you need to do. If you're not tech savvy, it doesn't matter. As long as we can see the receipt and you email it to my AT Parenting Community Manager, Ayla. And so you email her at AT, that's T as in Tom, AT, AT Parenting Survival Help at yahoo.com. AT Parenting Survival Help at yahoo.com. I'll leave this in the show notes as well. So if you email her, she's not going to be happy, because this is going to generate hopefully a lot of work for her, because I think people realize I'm not going to offer this for a long time, because I don't often discount that course. That course, even people in my membership community, they don't get free access to this course, just because it's a new course and there's a lot of work that went into it. And so it's not normally just gifted like a random little thing. But if you send us your receipt, we will create a coupon code for you to go ahead and enroll in free, and you'll get lifetime access. You're just like a regular student. And so that's awesome. It'll probably come down soon, to be honest with you. So if you're listening to this after February 20th, it may or may not be available, like maybe a week after you listen to this episode. It might be. I might be like, yeah, it's not too bad. I'm not too worried about it. We'll see how I feel, because it is generating a lot of work for my assistant, and it is gifting one of my most valuable courses. So with that said, if you want to check that out, you can check out my book on Amazon or wherever you buy books. It should be in Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, should be anywhere online. If you ask for your local store to carry it, I'm sure they can get it. That's not going to be a problem. So it should be universally out there. You can find it. I made a quick, easy link on Amazon. If you want to go to natashadaniels.com/OCD book. That's natashadaniels.com/OCD book. And then you should be able to, that will just link you right to Amazon. I also have a website for the book, little website all for the book. And so if you want to just learn more about the book or more about the course that I'm offering, you can go to, or actually even see if it's being offered still, because that landing page will be updated as soon as I decide this was a terrible idea and I take it back. Or maybe I don't say it's a terrible idea, but I say, okay, that's enough. Let's stop that offer. It is definitely, definitely a temporary offer for sure. You can check out the book page at atparentingsurvivalseries.com/OCD-workbook. That will take you to the book's page, and you can read about the book. And then if you keep scrolling all the way down, you'll see the offer if it's still available. And then I go all into the OCD, the Crushing OCD class for kids and teens. And you can watch a video on that, and you can see what people are saying about that. So I hope that you take advantage of it. Honestly, this is really just a give, because I want the book to get out there. I'm going to get $1 a book. And I want the course to get out there. The course is already out there. And I mean, a lot of people buy this course, but I want you to reap the benefits. And so it's just a great opportunity, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. So again, you can check out the book at natashadaniels.com/OCD book. That is a quick link to Amazon, or go to the book landing page. And I hope that you find that helpful. And I hope that you find the podcast helpful. I do appreciate those of you that heard me whining about not having any reviews lately, and you went and you left some. And so thank you so much. I appreciate that. I want to read one of them today, and I have zero memory. So I hope that I've already read a couple of these, that we got a whole bunch at once because I was whining about it. And then some of you came through. So I'm going to start where I feel like I left off, and hopefully I read some of these already. But I want to say thank you to Sit Kostasis, or maybe I read this one already, but I'm going to read it again. And if I didn't, and I will read KJ Robb's next time. I like to read one per episode in case I don't get another one. But maybe you'll do me a solid and you'll leave a review. I would appreciate that. And also, as a complete side note that I didn't think to even mention, and then I'll get to this review, is if you do get this book, if you do purchase this book, no matter what, regardless of whether you, you know, get this course or just if you, or if you've purchased it already or you're going to purchase it, if you consume this book at all and you like it or you don't like it, it doesn't matter. I definitely would love for you to leave a review. Reviews really help get the word out. And so leaving a review, taking that extra time on Amazon to leave a review is so kind. And you have no idea, unless you've written a book, how much people really appreciate reviews. So if you've purchased the book or you're going to purchase the book and you have an opinion, take the time to leave a review. I greatly appreciate that. And I greatly appreciate when you leave a review about my podcast. And so I want to thank Sit Kostasis. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. An amazing resource. I've been listening and referring parents to your podcast for about 6 months now. I'm a fellow therapist, parent coach, and mama of a kiddo with anxiety. I cannot tell how validating it is to hear you share stories, experiences, and education in such a raw, authentic, and vulnerable manner. I was particularly impacted by her latest episode of how our kids' anxiety triggers our whole feelings. I remember my own school avoidance, begging to stay home, wanting to rescue my mom when she was depressed. All the things. Sorry that I slaughtered that. I like can't read all of a sudden. I love that you found that episode impactful, because I think a lot of times we don't think about how our own triggers are impacted when our kids are having these issues, and your own school avoidance and begging to stay home and wanting to rescue your mom when she was depressed really would impact how you're showing up for your child. And all of us have history that impacts how we interact with our kids. It's just recognizing that history, right? Because the more we recognize that stuff, the more intentional we can be. So I appreciate you leaving that review. Thank you so much. And I love when a fellow therapist leaves a review, because it's just great to have another colleague out there supporting resources for parents who are raising kids with anxiety or OCD and soaking up these things to just, you know, get that knowledge or even to get that extra support. I know even as a parent, I need that extra support sometimes, and finding my own resources to get that support is helpful. So thank you for leaving that review. And maybe if you write a review, I'll be reading yours, not next time, but the time after that, because I do have one from KJ Robb that I will be reading next time. So I hope that you find the sparkle in everything you do. I hope that you found this helpful, and I will talk to you again next time. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the AT Parenting Survival Podcast. To get additional support raising a child with anxiety or OCD, visit Natasha's online school of on-demand classes at atparentingsurvivalschool.com.